Oh, I don't need that. You heard the reading from the closing of God's book. It's rather interesting that the Lord led our brother Clay Thomas to do that. For that shows that God means business. What he said, he will do. What he said, he has already done. And what he said yet there is to come will be just as true when the right time comes. Are you available, Timmy? I would like a brief passage read from the same book, Revelation, chapter 12, the first six verses first. And you can come here and do it. Revelation chapter 12, the first six verses.
Revelation chapter 12.
Excuse me.
And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
I think most of us only later on discover the real meaning of what has happened. At the time that it is happening, we're not always clear. I'm going to ask Timmy also to go along with the rest of us here to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Usually it is Luke that we look into on a day like this, but seeing that for many years in the nativity scene, they have put the shepherds as well as the wise men right there, though time-wise, about at least a year and a half has passed between the two events. This time, I want to bring the two together again as far as we are concerned. So please go to Matthew chapter 2 and see if you can put together a lost opportunity next to a fully taken care of and enjoyed opportunity. So Matthew chapter 2, Timmy, please.
Not the whole chapter. Start with the wise men. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he born, King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all its borders, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead who sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene.
Thank you. And Matthew 2. Did Herod know?
stay on this.
Good. Thank you. We are back in order. Boy, there's power there. Did Herod know that he was repeating? He was choosing, like his great-great-great-great-grandpa, Esau. Esau chose between a bowl of lentil soup and a fresh piece of bread and his birthright. Which one did he choose? His tummy. His God was his belly. Right? Birthright? What's it? Give me that red stuff there. And after he ate and drank, he got up and said, birthright? Forget it. Now Herod, an Edomite king, years later, has also a choice. He puts the crown of a king on and is talking to the chief priests and the scribes, finds out what the scriptures say about this, that these wise men came all the way from the far country to worship. He knows exactly that this babe that they are talking about, this little child, is a little less than 2 years old. And he calls the wise man back and say, now look, this is very quiet, but the crown is on his head. You go and find and worship. Come back, tell me, and I want to go and worship him. Now, was he going to go and worship him? What was he planning to do? Kill him. Did Herod know that he was really part of that red dragon in Revelation 12 that was waiting? Oh, that woman is going to give birth to a child as soon as the baby is born. I'm going to do what? Wow. So, did the dragon in Revelation 12 manage to devour the babe? No. If he could have done that, you and I wouldn't be here today. If Herod, who represented that dragon, had managed what he wanted, you and I wouldn't be here today. Because Jesus would have never grown up. He would have never gone to the cross. He would have never paid for our sins. He would have never been buried and raised from the dead. He would not have gone 2,000 years up to heaven and be at the right hand of God. And right now, enjoying the fact that we are gathered in his name here as people that belong to Jesus Christ. All this would have never happened, right? Ah, but God says, Herod, when in Malachi I said, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated, after waiting for you for over 1,600 years, I know what I'm saying. I hate Esau because he is willing to go with the enemy. And in the person of Herod, he is out to destroy the very Savior and the hope of all human beings. What a lost opportunity for Herod when people from miles away came, traveled a long time, and believed enough that they were going to do what they came to do. They brought gifts also, And who had they come to worship? Jesus. And what was his, that's very sweet, dear. And what was his name that the wise men said? We have come to worship the King. And we have brought gifts. You see, that was the custom. When Solomon became king, people came to visit him, but they always came with gifts. You never go to the king without bringing a gift. Now, did the wise men know that this little fellow who was born already as king of the Jews was also the Son of God who had come down in a human body? Did they know that? No, but they came to worship. In other words, they did respond to how much of the truth they had. But today, we know more than those wise men. We are really wiser because we have. Did they have a whole Bible in their package? No, they didn't have most probably even one of the scrolls. Years before their day, somebody called Daniel was in their country as a slave, but he listened to God and he became the prime minister. And he had already discovered that after so many years, Jesus would be born, the Savior would be born, the King of Israel would be born. And somehow the sign for it would be that there would be a special star. And these people always studied the skies. And when they saw that, said, oh, that wise man had said, when the King of the Jews is born, there'll be a special star. This is it. Let's go. Did they believe or not? You wouldn't undertake all that if you didn't believe what you were after. So in that respect, they get a straight A because they believed the amount of truth that they had. Now, we are wiser because we have all of the Old Testament, all of the New, and our brother Clay Thomas says this is our special gathering to worship, right? To worship the one that was born in Bethlehem, and wonder of wonders, a year and a half after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he was still in Bethlehem. And when they arrived, thinking that the king meant what he said, and found the house and the star stopped right over it, and there was this, anyone here that is a little less than 2 year old? Do we have anyone? I mean, close. Well, here we are. That's the one. See? Mary was in the house with Jesus about this size. But she says, I don't know this old man, so Daddy, take me. But the father, but Joseph is not there. Why isn't Joseph there? Did he go to the movies? No. What do you think he was doing? He's a carpenter. Therefore, he has a saw, a hammer, a plane, you know, and he's working so that he can bring bread and butter and milk and so on. Are they rich? No, he has to work. So he's out working, and Mary's taking care of the little toddler. Huh. Do the wise men say, king? This little fellow? Oh, no. They went way down, worshiped him, and then opened their bags and gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Did they know how all that would be used? They gave gifts to the king. Was God having a plan? Joseph is only a poor carpenter. But you see, after they left, they were told in the dream, don't go back to that king. He's a liar. Go home another way. Then the angel says to Joseph, hey, wake up. I'm tired. Wake up. Quick. Take the child, Jesus. Take the mother. Put them on a donkey. Go to Egypt. Why? The king is going to come shortly. Send his soldiers to kill that child. The wise man came a long ways with gifts, and yet Herod, within how many miles from Jerusalem is Bethlehem? How many, Timmy? 6-7 miles. He didn't have to go very far, right? He could get in his special vehicle and come in style and worship the born king of the Jews if he wanted. Did he or did he not miss a golden opportunity in life? How long do you think he lived after he, in his anger, sent his soldiers and killed all the little boys, 2 year or younger, both in Bethlehem and the whole surrounding? How long did he live after he killed all those little fellas? Huh?
2 years.
He died in B.C. 4, I find in some books. Jesus would have to be born, obviously, before that date, right? Otherwise, he would not have been there in the story. So he only lived maybe at the most a year. What a pity, Herod. You ended up having tried to kill the very one that had come to save you. Eternally, Herod will be saying, I was a loser. His great-great-grandpa despised the opportunity of being the firstborn. Now Herod, a millennium and a half later, has a chance, but he regards what he puts on his head more important than the one God sent for his salvation also. How foolish can one be when he or she despises what God offers us? I feel sorry for Herod. He missed the opportunity to worship the king of the Jews. Oh, but he says, but I'm an Edomite. I'm from the line of Esau. That's why God says, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. I've given you opportunities for 1,600 years, and then I've given you another 400 years when Jesus ultimately came, and you still say no. I'm entitled to say I hate anyone that refuses my best gift. Now we are gathered to worship. Join the wise men. And we have much more than they had to bring to Jesus. They brought what they could. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. And I'm sure on the way to Egypt and in Egypt for quite a while, Joseph had something to live on. God provided it. What do we have to offer to Jesus today? If we bow down and worship him, what can we offer? Do you have anything to offer to Jesus? What would you give Jesus? Your heart. Hey, that's good. That's the best gift, isn't it? If we really mean business and we want to worship Jesus, the first thing he asks of us is, give me your heart so that I can come in, make it clean, and live there, right? Would Jesus sit in a dirty heart? Would you sit in a dirty chair that is slimy and there are bugs there and crawling worms? No, your heart and my heart, because of sin, is worse than that, and it stinks. Now, when you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, he will come in gladly, but he would like to make it clean, right? And then live there, right? Have you invited Jesus into your heart?
Yes, sir.
You did. That's a wise young lad. Have you also?
Yes, sir.
You have. Good. How about the grown-ups? Is there anyone here this morning that has not yet said, Lord Jesus, you not only came to Bethlehem and God saw to it that the Herod didn't manage to kill you, I'm so glad. You not only went to the cross and died and paid for my sins, and then 3 days later rose from the dead and you are alive, but I have not yet invited you into my heart. Anyone like that here? You have not yet. Whether you are little, partway up, or even an older person, if you have not invited Jesus into your heart, you have not started worshiping him. True? Until we invite him into our heart, we are not beginning to worship. We are worshiping ourselves, our will, or we are worshiping money, or we are worshiping a new car, or we are worshiping a new program on TV, we are worshiping something else. True? Yes. It's amazing how many things Americans worship these days. Football? One of the gods. You know what I mean. The next job, the next car, the bigger house, the next travel to the Middle East or around the world trip. I've always wanted to travel. Now that I've retired, ho, ho! That's your God, if you are not careful. But have you invited Jesus into your heart? If you haven't, you are in this gathering to worship Jesus, and you are worshiping yourself and your plans. And unfortunately, if you don't change those gods and have Jesus, you'll never meet him in heaven because you won't make it there. So let me invite young and old. Let us worship Jesus. First by making sure that we invite him into our hearts. And then after he comes in, here's a little fellow. I went the first 7 years and I gave Jesus only one room in my house here. This is my house, right? I live in it, only one place. Jesus, I love you. I will talk to people about you, but there are other things. I don't want you to look into those other rooms. Just stay here, right? In the stable, in the manger. Did Jesus stay for the rest of his life in the stable, in the manger? No. No. So 7 years passed before, in a conference, I began to see that Jesus was saying, Shorty, I want to visit the other rooms in this your house. Will you let me? Okay. I could keep you a long time telling you how I finally said, okay. But I began to let him move into this room or that room, the dining room, and so on. And you know, I felt so much better. Worshiping Jesus means, Lord Jesus, you deserve it. You are welcome to come into any part in the whole house. My thoughts, my desires, what I plan to do, where I go, you are welcome to be my king. They came to worship whom? The born king of the Jews. Have you made Jesus king of your life? Lord, if you are only giving him a small part or even half of your life, of your plans, of your desires, you are not yet worshiping him properly. True? Let's then, very briefly, say, Lord Jesus, you gave your throne in heaven. You came down. Though you were rich, you became poor for my sake. And while you were here, you said to the young man that said, I want to follow you. I want to be one of your students. He says, oh, good. Now, just before you go one more step, I want you to know that the foxes have a hole they go in and be dry and warm and safe. The birds have nests, yes. I, the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, I don't have where to put my head at night. I take a stone by a hillside and sleep there. I don't have enough to pay for a motel room. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? I was rich. In order to save you, I became poor. Lord Jesus, I'm willing. Did the young man say, okay, I want to follow you? No, he says, let me go home and think. He's still thinking. If we really want to worship him, we have to be willing to say, I will follow you, I'll come with you, I will do your will, I will make you my king, I will fully bow down, heart, mind, soul, spirit, body, it's all yours. Unless we do that, friends, we are just half and half, or three quarters and one quarter and so on. We are not really fully in love with Jesus. Does he deserve our love? He had called me 6 months after I invited him as my Savior. He called me audibly by my first name for Africa. Now, my first name is Haralambos. I don't expect you to be able to pronounce it, but that's all right. You're not Greeks. But Haralambos means shining joy. Ah, Jesus said, shining joy into Africa. I don't like it, Lord. I want to be a professor at the University of Salonika. A little bit longer hairdo, a black leather briefcase, a walking stick. Everybody could tell I was a professor that way, see? Go to Africa? Ugh. There are snakes there. There are diseases. Ugh. There are cannibals. They like to cook you and eat you. Lord, I want to be a professor. Shining joy, you are telling people you love me. Yes. When I said I love you, I came all the way down from heaven. I went all the way to the cross. And in the midst of mockery and sneer and ridicule, and my hands nailed and my feet nailed, my back still bleeding, thorny crown was pushed onto my head. And I said to you, I love you. Fully. You say you love me. You don't want to go even from Greece to Africa. Stop telling people that you love me or go where I sent you. Tears began to run down. Okay, Lord, I'm willing to go. I make you my king. I will do what you say. Has the Lord asked you to do something and you still haven't done it? You're not worshiping him then. It's only when we travel the distance he wants us and come to him and give us all and give him everything we have, that's when we make him king of our lives. So let us be honest before God. Let us worship him in this gathering, starting in a new way, and give him all. Would you like to do that? Does he deserve it? How long is he going to wait before some of us are willing to do it? Oh, God, please, dear Holy Spirit, dig deep into our hearts and minds and souls and help us see that we are in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, of the Savior that loved us enough to bleed to death for us. And he deserves everything we have and are. Help us to begin to worship him fully, thoroughly, wholeheartedly. I pray, dear Father, in Jesus' name, amen.